sides. Swing it low, swing it low. One FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Paragon Radio starts in the future, which is any minute now.
Turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream. It is not dying.
And it is just after midnight, and it is the Paragon Radio Show, 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Michael T, sitting in for Ben. Looking forward to hearing from you at 816-931-5534. That is 931-KKFI. All right, Kansas City.
Understand me, sugar. since we got to be here. Let's live. I love you.
Hey, everybody, this is Steve Forbert. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
City. I hear you, do you hear me? That's the question. I am Michael T. Justice. This is the Paragon Radio Show. I am totally and completely discombobulated. I am like 2 hours earlier than normal. So I am in a part of me still asleep. So just bear with me. There is a lot going on. Obviously, there's always a lot going on. And as always, we will talk about it through the night. I will be with you here at least until 3 o'clock, or at least that's the plan. I will definitely not be here for the 4 o'clock hour. Thanks to Casey for coming in and taking care of that. We will hopefully still have your suicide. Hopefully Jacob is working on that, and we will have that for you at the 3 o'clock hour. And we'll go through great lengths to make sure that you get the suicide, because it is always jam-packed with lots and lots of thought-provoking material. Not just facts and figures, but ideas and, well, a little comedy. But all of it designed to keep you thinking. It certainly gets me going through the week. And if you don't get a chance to hear it at 3 o'clock, or if you miss part of it, sometimes we don't repeat this enough, you can go to GoFindTheOthers.com and find all 310 of those mugs, as well as the a great deal of the source material, because I am always like, whoa, where did he get that? I just find it amazing how, what's the word, circular, you know, the track that we are on seems to keep bringing us back to some of the same things. I remember I was listening to the suicide, I don't know, this one may have actually been from a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was last week's, I'm not sure, but I was struck by a conversation that was taking place in the 50s about the quality of television and how it was destroying the youth. Now, that could be taken a couple of different ways. It could be taken to say, well, that's what the old folks are always on about. Oh, this internet's going to kill the kids, the music, the entertainment. It's wrecking our society. So that's just the way we old people talk, because I know I sure as hell am guilty of shaking my head and saying, these kids today. So there is the very real possibility that we are just, well, for lack of a better word, old fogies who just complain and whine about what's going on. Or it is indeed possible. That our society is being destroyed and we're just further along the destructive path and going, oh my God, they're destroying our society. I will, of course, let you be the judge. I'll just put it out there for the next couple of hours and cross my fingers and toes that you will call and that we will engage in dialogue and conversation about the tattering edges of our society so that we, the people, might actually become, to a greater extent, that we might become the for lack of a better word, again, the pilots of our society. I'll be with you in just a second, caller. But yeah, that we would be the pilots of our society, that we would wrest controls and drive this baby. And I've got a couple of different little stories here I'll touch on, and we'll see where they take us in respect to that. But the calls are already going, so let's get to them. KKFI, you're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
Stan, calling from the northeast side.
Stan, how are you?
Doing great, bud. Yeah, about your comment about, you know, whether or not we're headed down the road of destruction for the youth and all that.
Right.
We know we are, institutionally speaking. But about 15 years ago, I was driving cab, and I picked up four teenage girls over in the hood, and they were all giggling and carrying on, little teenagers. They weren't even of driving age yet. But there was a bunch of stuff going on in the school district at the time. And so I asked them, I said, what do you girls think about the school district? And they said it was being screwed up from the inside. At that age, they were able to figure it out.
Well, I that's another one of those things where it's like, yes, absolutely, it is being screwed up from the inside. But I wonder if they knew that, or if that's like kind of, we know that that's what we say.
No, we had quite a long discussion about it, and they were able to pinpoint certain things that made sense.
Right.
And what they actually showed anger, because what they said was they were being cheated out of getting smarter, you know, their education.
Right.
And what I see happening now with my own children is they're herding up. They're forming small groups, you know, it's almost caveman style. Huh. You know, going back to living three families in a house or whatever for the youth with their children. It's a whole different society that they're causing to be built, and I think that's where the success is going to be for the kids.
And it's critical that they see that, and that we, again, as I was just finishing, as I answered your call, as I was finishing to say that we, the people, have to wrest controls of the society, right? We have to take it and drive it and not let it be driven, because that is what happens, that it gets destroyed. And
it's
not
happening
destroyed
naturally. You know?
Yes,
they can't
keep
up with the technology. Every time they put a foot down, some yahoo figures out how to get around it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Those couple kids, I don't know if you saw this on the internet, over in the war-torn area of Afghanistan and stuff right now, all those drone planes operate on remote control. These kids with parts from Radio Shack or something built a little thing with a little handheld satellite dish and were able to grab control and land and crash our drones.
Really?
Yes. You know, it's amazing.
That is amazing.
Technology doesn't, it gets beyond, KISS always works, right? Keep it simple.
Yes.
You know.
Well, and that's always the case, is that we have to be, you know, and that's kind of one of the concerns, again, talking about driving our society, right? There's an ongoing debate for us to decide, right, or some people to decide for us, right, if we don't partake, about how we will use drones in our society. You know, I had an occasion this week to go somewhere, and I was thinking about, I was talking with somebody about some product that they had bought online, and I said, well, you know, it was from Amazon, and I was like, well, you know, they're trying to do those drones deal where they would just, like, ship that to your house from the society using some sort of unmanned aerial vehicle, and that begs the question, what happens?
On it, those things are just absolutely unbelievable, the delivery drones they've come up with.
Right, but that brings to, your example brings to mind the question, so what happens when a couple of kids from, Blue Springs High School decide, screw this, man, and they take some parts from shop class and start commandeering drones that are taking products, right, and make them stop along the way and
give them the product.
Yeah,
you know. Like the guy that follows UPS during Christmas.
Right, like the old,
you know. You know, it doesn't matter what we do, there's always going to be a yahoo, right?
Right.
Always. So. Yeah, but progress is what I see out there. It just fills me at my age. I'm 65 now, and I see all of the youth of today globally because of the internet. It's, I know they tried to shut it down. They're doing all this, but they can't. The technophobes will blow through whatever they do.
Right.
You know?
Correct.
That's a saving
grace. At least that is my hope. That is my hope. That my hope is those youth. We have another call that I queued up ahead of time, but it's bleeding through. So,
Well, look, have a great show. You know, keep going, man.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All righty. Now, what is your name, sir?
Your name?
No, your name. What is your name, sir?
Oh, my name is Ozone, man.
What is your name?
Ozone.
Ozone. How are you, sir?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. You were going on there, so go ahead and your point?
This guy was talking about his sons and everybody out there today.
Okay, what?
Delay. It's killing me on delay. But,
right, you have got to turn your radio off when you make the phone call.
I'll tell you what. We've got a lot of things that we got to look at.
Okay, like what? Turn off your radio so it's just you and me and not you and you.
That's right, the delay. I'll turn it down. How about that?
Okay.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hey, call that guy back. Because there's a guy that was just there.
Well, you go ahead. He's listening, and he'll call back. Did you have a comment towards what he was saying? All right. You're changing channels instead of just turning it down. All right. Well, did you have a comment you wanted to make? I'll let you do that.
Yeah. Our guys are coming. I've got boys that are over there, and I love my sons, man. And you know what I'm saying.
Right on.
I love my sons.
I do as well. My sons. I love your sons as well, I'm sure, in the overall sense.
I love
but specifically,
all of them.
I love my sons also.
All the way back to the time that it was 9/11.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you were going back. I was like, well, I'm going to skip the Vikings. I don't have a lot of love for them. But
My girlfriend, she told me. I asked her one time, I said, and she was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful blue-eyed blonde. And I asked her, I said, honey, what are you? And she said, well, I'm Viking. And I said, you're Viking? You mean like them Viking people? And she said, with the hats and all that? She said, yeah. I said, so you're telling me that you're blue-eyed blonde and you're a Viking?
I feel a joke.
She goes, damn it. I wish I'd never told you that. And it was funny.
Was she keeping it a secret?
And I'd pull it on her. I'd say, oh, is that the Viking thing? And she'd go, damn you. you know, it really was.
There you go.
Damn you.
Right, you gotta watch out for those Vikings.
I heard that.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Always do. But anyway,
thank you very much. And that will actually dovetail into a little bit of some of the other stuff I got here for you. So
jump on to my Reverb Nation.
I will indeed, sir.
Hey, Shoal Creek Studios. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
Him and a ha.
Well, you know.
Show enough. Show you right. All right. You have a good day, sir.
Shoal Creek Studios. What are you gonna do?
All right, now, you have a good evening, sir. I'm not sure what the Shoal Creek Studios were, but hey. All right, so we'll work mightily to weave that right on back into the fabric of this little conversation here, and the Vikings are indeed going to play a little part in our discussion this evening. A couple of things that are going down The Pike, I am, as we speak, turning off the old sound machine on my phone there. And it's posted. Ah, okay. 310 is aired. So we will re-air the suicide that got a little flubbed last week. And we got it edited and ready for you to digest fully, because they were going into some things, and I was like, oh, man. So now we'll get a chance to go back over that. So we'll do that at 3 o'clock. Thank you to Jake, who is out there listening, and may join us in conversation in some way, shape, or fashion, because I got a couple of things, like I said, was going through my mind. So I'll get to this Viking thing just because it's tangential, but it will help weave me back. I got to thinking about this whole Russia-Ukraine thing because the damn thing just does not seem to be ending, right? It seems as though there's just so much happening, and it just does not seem to be ending. And so I was like just doing a little cursory history reading. And the Ukraine it seems, just in my light history reading, and then to go this other deal that earlier I read just some Wikipedia stuff, and now here's this other thing that I pulled up from something called The Week. I am not I don't stand by whatever this website is, but they've got a little history here that I'm going to go through a little bit too. But in the Wikipedia posts. I was reading it, and I told my wife, I was like, this is pretty funny. It's like, they did pretty much the exact same thing. Well, I won't say the exact same thing, because I don't know if there were troops from Russia that were involved and masked and all this stuff. But according to the Wikipedia entry, the Ukraine in, I believe it was 1754, like rallied themselves to throw off the Polish empire or kingdom or duchy, right? Said, we don't want you to be our boss no more. We want to go with these folks over here in Moscow. Well, they call them the Russians. So we're going to pledge our fealty to them. And so they, region by region, and funny enough, it was the Crimea and then the Kiev or vice versa. But they, it talked about different sections of the Ukraine saying we're going with them. Now, I don't know if the Russians have a 300-year-old playbook that they just whip out every once in a while and push a few buttons and suddenly the Ukrainians go calling for them to lead or what. But I know that this ain't a new thing. You know, I kind of was thinking this was part of the Russian-Soviet deal because, you know, I'm not well-versed in Soviet history, but a little reading here and there, enough to be dangerous, enough to say some things that somebody else can call up and say, hey, you didn't miss, you didn't obviously read volume two of that ancient text. But what I can tell you a little bit about Soviet history is that, one of their techniques, and it's kind of standard, colonization, I guess you would say, is that they would pepper the landscape with their own people. I mean, not to be trying to start nothing with nobody, but that's kind of what Israel's doing in Palestine, right? It's like they're saying, like, all right, we're going to clear this area out, and although this is not ours technically, but we're going to create a security buffer, so we're going to keep you from being there. And then, lo and behold, some of their people come running out, the Israeli folks come running out, start building settlements, right? And then you go, well, you can't blow up those settlements because that would be an act of terrorism, and we're not actually going to stop them from building the settlements. Well, then the settlements become part of, like, you know that's in Israel. In Russia, we're way down the line here. You know, way down the line as far as that process, right? Because when you have generations who speak a different language, who have a cultural tie, who have connections, and when you have generations within that landmass, then they kind of have a tendency to want to go with those guys. I mean, I kind of look at the Ukraine sort of like Yugoslavia, right? Because it was 30 years ago. Not quite. I always say it like I'm like this, a little older than I am. I don't know. Maybe that is my way of trying to imbue myself with a little extra wisdom and gain a little more respect. Well, I mean, after all, the guy's 50. We got to listen to him. Not quite 50, but I remember very vividly, I remember being in a class like in my old kangaroo days, UMKC. And I think it was a geography class. And we were talking about that area that is Yugoslavia, and at that point was a newly freed former Soviet deal, right? Former Soviet Republic, and the people were at each other's throats. And I had no understanding of what it was, and I remember vividly there was a young lady who had visited the country, and she was just heartbroken at how such a beautiful place was in such violent uprising. And she pointed out at that point that there were different people within this country called Yugoslavia, and that they had been held apart from killing each other by the Russians, the Soviets, for so long. And now that the Soviets were gone, they were free to recommence their fighting. And we ended up with a couple of different countries.
So what are you going to do?
Who's calling here?
What
is your name and what part of town are you calling from?
Ozone,
all right, Ozone, I'm going to let you take some time to relax for just a little bit and get yourself under control, or maybe we'll get to a conversation with you in a little bit later. But right now, just trying to kind of get a show off the road here, off the ground. So anyway, the Yugoslavia thing just kind of collapsed, and I was feeling like this was the case with the Ukraine. But as I look back at the history of the Ukraine, it mars the picture a little bit. I mean, to be sure, we live today, and we have to, like, deal with, you know, the people of this day and what they're wanting and what our instincts tell us, our interpretation, our read on the situation is a little different, because I don't know that we have an understanding of this history. The tie back in the Vikings. The Ukraine and Russia have been twisted together for 1,000 years when they became, you know, an early Christian nation in 988. And for a few hundred years, that was the case until Genghis Khan and his mighty band of Mongol invaders started wiping out parts of that area and destroyed what was then the capital. Of Kiev and the people leaned towards Moscow 1,000 years ago. And so they have this connection that goes way, way, way back, and it's a lot more, I think, than, you know, we can understand. And that is not to say that the Russians are not taking advantage of the situation, that the Russians are not involved in that situation. There's some other things that we need to consider too, like some of our involvements, our meaning our government, because they don't tell us about what they're doing over there, and some of the ways that these what they call NGOs operate. But we've got a phone line working, and I am always happy to take a call. KKFI, you're in the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
Stan, again, in the Northeast.
What's happening, sir?
I just looked at the map, and the Ukraine goes all the way to Poland.
Right.
And I don't have an old enough map to show how large Poland was right now and how far over the Russian territories went before.
Right, and you got to remember the maps are a shifting thing.
Exactly, that's why I'm saying I don't have an old one.
And Poland at that point was an actual power, you know. I mean, we look at Poland, or I look at Poland, and I think, okay, I remember World War One; they kind of got their clocks cleaned, and then World War Two really cleaned, and then it wasn't until the 90s that they got a pope. You know what I mean? I mean, that is the breadth of my Polish history.
Poland at one time supplied most of the military leaders for all of Europe.
Correct.
Okay.
They were
quite well known.
And then you get into this whole other stuff that we as a people here are not as well versed in that history.
Is that an understatement?
We throw around terms and words that, and I keep saying we. I want people to understand I'm preaching to me, not to you. You are just a bystander in this conversation with myself sometimes. But I throw around.
Generally speaking, the public is guilty of what you're saying.
Exactly. Because I have, for years, thought I understood a little bit of European history. And you go, the Prussians, and you go, okay, what's Prussia? I don't know, some like Russia something. And I got a feeling that it's kind of that middle ground between Poland, Russia, the Austro-Habsburgs, that
Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Thank you.
And all the Habsburgs stuff, were the rulers.
Yeah, all that stuff was going on for hundreds of years and was happening, you know, changing, maps and lands and these people had this land for 100 years and
exactly.
Then they'd go over and there were parts of England that spoke French and parts of France that spoke English, because although, you know, you could march into the town square and say I'm the new king and what are you going to do about it, well, you got me surrounded with a bunch of guys with spears.
Yep.
So yeah, you're the king, all right, but I'm not going to talk your language. I'm not going to speak your language. I'm not going to name my kids after you. I'm going to look for every opportunity.
That's a quick one there on a sidebar, is that people born in Europe, they automatically are exposed to so many different languages.
Right.
That, you know, I've met people from Europe that speak 5 languages fluently. You know,
because
to me,
they have
fluency
to
is read
to
it,
their
write
neighbors.
It, and speak it.
Right, because they have to speak to their neighbors.
Exactly.
And their neighbors.
Exactly.
And their neighbors.
I have a lot of friends from the Arab world, and when I'm from driving cabs, hundreds of these guys, and most of them spoke 7 languages minimum.
Right.
You know, and it's just unbelievable what the human brain is capable of.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
That goes back to the technology thing and the hope and all that. Oh, yeah, and quickly, on the drones thing, it's not the fact that those little kids figured out, you know, to take down an American drone, it's the fact that they figured out how to do it.
Right. That's
you know,
my
and
thing.
So as you were pointing out, people are arguing here in this country now about the drone usage. So I guarantee you, people will be building them right here in the States.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Can you imagine, like, Amazon has some little delivery service, so I order my, my table lamp, and so they're going to deliver it to me. But some kid is hacked into the drone so that it drops down en route to my house. It drops down, picks up, I don't know, a quarter ounce of meth. I don't think they sell it that way, but whatever. And then goes back up into the stream, stops one more time, and drops off the drugs at some other dude's house, and then comes to me. I got no idea. Amazon's got no idea. And they're like, hey, I love America.
Well, you know, what you're saying is that they will, okay, I don't know if you caught it, but they just had a ruling on civilian use of drones.
Right.
They tried to outlaw it. Who are the guys over the fly people?
FAA. Yeah, the FAA. Federal.
Okay. Well, they just got shut down by the judges because there's actually no law about it.
Right.
They expect to have the law written by the end of 2015, which, you know, God knows when that'll happen.
Think it'll take them that long?
Yeah. Yeah, the civilian use of drones right now is quite huge in the industrial sectors and in farming. They're able to sit in their little control room and send out four or five drones over a couple thousand acres, inspect all the crops, make sure the irrigation's working. You know, it's these things inspecting power lines, oil lines in remote regions. They're using the heck out of these things.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, they do have a lot of good uses, but as we all know, as you were speaking at the beginning, it's we, the people, have to take power. But how do we get the people that are honest to step forward and get up there and live through it?
Now, again, here is the critical nature, and this is where we take the first step, okay? That was what you just came to with me again by bringing that back to us is like that first, that left leg stepping forward. But that right leg has to be in motion right along with it in order for us to walk forward.
Yeah.
Not to stutter step or limp into the future, but to walk proudly and strongly. Okay.
That's the way this country walked after World War II.
Right. And in order to do that, we the people have got to be aware of what's going on and like make some demands. To wit, the front page of the paper yesterday was talking about this shooter out on the highway. And I know it sounds like I'm going somewhere else, but stick with me, we'll get there. The shooter on the highway was captured because of something that we talked on this show about a year ago about, I was worried about these parking lot, or not parking lot scanners, but these license plate scanners that the police have on the sides of their cars, and they are in more and more and more small towns and cities and everything across the board.
I missed that. What is a license plate scanner?
These are little boxes that are on the backs of the police cars. They look like, maybe like the size of a cable box or something like that. And
they're
just attached. And what it is it's a roving camera that kind of rotates. And I don't even know if now that that's required because of RFID technology. It may just be reading the RFID chips and the license plates around it. But whatever it's doing, it is gathering constantly. Not that the policeman is doing it. You know, it's the car, the system is making a note that I'm at the corner of 39th and Prospect, and here are the cars that are here at this exact moment. Well, what happened was that over the course of a couple of months, the system, not putting it together, but just storing the information, had this guy driving along that stretch for four separate times that it had logged that car on that stretch.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Now, when someone called in and reported some sort of suspicious activity by a green car with such and such a license plate number, right?
Right.
then the police were able to go back and say, okay, let's see what kind of hits we got on that license plate number. Now, what you don't realize is that if they had given your license plate number, then it would be able to tell them exactly how many times you had driven along that stretch of highway. And if they had widened their parameters, it might tell them exactly how many times you had been on 39th and Prospect. And if they had further widened their parameters, it might tell them what time you had breakfast this morning. You know what I'm saying?
As long as I am not performing, see, this is where the line comes in between the use of good technology and the people that misuse it. You know, this is the biggest problem in the entire planet. You just spoke of the biggest problem we have is the Central Intelligence Agency, an agency created to protect us, but have done nothing but put us in harm's way constantly since they've been, came into power. And this has been trickled down now all the way through the system. We see ourselves getting stripped of all monetary control of our
cities. Created ostensibly.
You know, it's
this is
not a conspiracy theory.
Right.
This is a battle plan in full operation, and it's succeeding. You know, that's where we are.
And this is what I'm saying is, like, this information, this technology is out there. There are, they are able to put down right now, if they were to put my license plate number in the system, it would show them, I can think back in my mind's eye to probably five or six times that I have seen one of those deals. So likely it saw me before I saw it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But what's the problem with it if you're legal?
Well, but that's my point is you don't know. You know, it obviously was a help in this situation because they were able to track this guy down and go, okay, this is him. They're saying that this has allowed them to find stolen cars and warrants. You know, so the cop is just driving down the street. And
you remember
sudden,
the Son of Sam killer in New York?
Remember
how they caught him?
To be sure.
A freaking parking ticket.
Right. To be sure, there are good and valuable uses for this type of technology. Obviously, this is a good thing that they caught some knucklehead riding around shooting people on the highway, it seems, randomly. Now, here's the problem is that it becomes critical for us to demand that this information be free, or at least how it's being used be openly debated and not something that happens and we wake up one day and go, oh, really? For the last 10 years, they have records of everyone, where they've been and what, you know, because that's some powerful technology.
Yes.
If used in a negative way.
It's the same way with the NSA taking down all the phone calls leaving the United States.
Right.
As well as randomly yours and mine.
Right. If I'm a policeman and I am, mad at my ex-girlfriend.
Exactly.
And I want to find out where the hell she is.
Uh-huh.
Or if I know that she's taken up with some guy and I want to find out what the hell he's been up to, and now I can look at this thing and find out that, hey, he looks here like he's over on 39th and Prospect every Tuesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon for some reason. Let's go stop by and get that guy good roughing up. That's a bad use.
There again, there's no matter what technology come up with, there's going to be an abuser of it.
So it becomes critical that we drive the technology, and what that means is that we demand openness and transparency 100%. from our police department.
Get some people over them that dictate it. Right?
Right, that's what I'm calling for.
Yeah, that's got to be from us, but that isn't going to happen till we get some youth up there elected.
But that's what I'm calling for, and they don't have to be youth.
Yeah.
I mean, what they have to be is committed, and they have to be representative of a commitment. Like, I can be the most committed guy who's all
about freedom and you know, mm-hmm. Captain Libertarian, but if I don't got a bunch of people backing me, you right. see what I'm saying? Even yep. if, you know, it's critical for us, the people, right, to make our voices known that we don't, either don't want the technology used in this way or that we want the records to be open and fair and clear yeah, and transparent.
But they don't listen to us.
Well, but the, I guess.
Come on, we told them we didn't want GMO food. What right. they do? They
but
said,
we are,
screw you,
but
you
we
got
are
it
indeed,
anyway.
But we are indeed changing it. See, I don't want to get, yeah. Stan, I don't want to fall into a negativity trap of they're not going to listen to us because that tells the troops don't bother fighting. See,
right.
those youth,
and I say they're
the
not
youth,
going to listen to
but,
us
but
until
see,
we get the people in there.
But you can't, you cannot say, here's where I have a problem with your what you're saying there, Stan, is that to say that it cannot happen, the youth that is listening to you right now say that kind of checks out and goes, well, you know, he's probably right. There's nothing we can do about it.
No, until
no,
they get
but,
in there.
Well, but that's why you can't say you can't fight it because
okay.
we can fight it because
okay.
that's
okay.
how
well,
they
how
get
I
in
turn
there.
Around
they
say,
can't.
Until you get in there, it won't change.
Right. No, absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank
it's got
you.
To, but it's got to change based on us making being aware of it.
Yeah.
Being upset about it. And not falling for the argument that, well, unless you've got something to hide, it's really not a problem. It is
under
a problem.
Correct guidance, it wouldn't
it,
be a problem.
It is a problem if it's not, okay, you're saying this, right. Under correct guidance, it wouldn't be a problem. But it's not under correct guidance is the
understood.
Problem.
We're on board
you
on
see?
Both issues.
See, it's
we
not,
agree.
The problem is us. The problem is us because we don't because we must be ever vigilant if we wish to keep our liberty.
Well, but
and,
there again, you get back to how many people know half of what you speak of.
Right.
You know, it's not out there. You
and
know, the airwaves just don't put it out. NPR itself is even being corrupted now. You know, it's insidious. And I just caught this the other day. The most viewed website for news in the United States of America and on the planet Earth is Russia Today.
And that's a scary thought to me.
No, it isn't. You should read it. It is well written, and it is, how do you say, insightful, thoughtful, and common sense.
Are you aware that many of their reporters quit on air because of not
yeah, just recently this happened.
Right,
yeah.
And why did they
right.
do that?
Yeah, okay, so well, it's going to change. Look what happened in NPR.
But why did nope. they do that? No, wait, why did they quit?
Because of Putin. He's taking charge of it again. He wants to make it whatever I say goes, just
but
like
worse than that. Worse than that, because Russia Today was not showing what was happening in the Ukraine, but feeding the propaganda line from Putin's side, right? Mm-hmm. But not saying, like, when you're the reporter who has to go on and say something that is blatantly not true, like, you've
right.
seen the footage and you see that they took, you know, out of 20 minutes, they looked for the 30 seconds that would not be too damaging.
Correct.
And then put that forward. And then you got to sit there and make the decision whether or not you're going to take part in that propaganda.
That's what
machine.
They do with our Iraq and Afghanistan.
I just want to make sure that you're aware that
yes.
Russia Today is not the solution.
Oh,
maybe
hell
you
no.
like it as
I know
a better.
That, but you're an idiot if you only read one paper, right?
No, absolutely.
You
but
have to have a world view. You have to understand your enemy, Sun okay. Tzu. You know, the
no,
art
absolutely.
Of war. You
absolutely.
Must understand your enemy. You must understand their psyche.
But
you have to understand their.
All right. I just want to make sure that we acknowledge that who we're dealing with before we say, well, Russia Today is an awesome news site. Because
I didn't say it was awesome. I said it's the most viewed on the planet Earth right now.
Right. And
I didn't do that. The lying bastards in this country.